This is Johnny Blue Star. Welcome to Threshold, a global media event. Is the universe just a random dance of atoms? Or is it a manifestation of a supremely intelligent architect? Can its purpose, or our purpose here on Earth, be adequately assessed? Can we commune with it, know its intentions, cooperate with its direction? Here, we define Threshold as a gateway state of awareness, allowing mankind to cross into a place of real cognition. Threshold allows us to approach questions of higher reality through the door of experience rather than mere belief. Welcome to Threshold, where we tear away the veil from commercial media, bringing our audience and participants into another realm of reality and enhanced communication.
This is Johnny Blue Star. We're back on Threshold with a program devoted entirely to music. As those who listen to us realize, this show is fundamentally about consciousness based on the spectacular concept that human beings can actually be in contact with a higher power. And more so, this higher power can help us direct our lives if we listen in the right way. Still, you might be surprised, considering all this, to note my seeming obsession with music. It's no accident. When I say that Threshold is a global media event, I'm not kidding. No matter how obscure it might seem now as a fledgling program at the very beginning of its march forward. For years, I've been planning the show and developing New Galaxy Enterprises as a media company with a strong musical division called Bridge of Light Productions. The goal of Bridge of Light Productions is to promote and develop music to act as a bridge of communication and sharing on an artistic, spiritual, and emotional level between countries, cultures, and ethnicities. Many people might disagree with me, but I believe that the strongest spiritual impulse to global spirituality was expressed, however, in the way it was, through the genre of music called acid or psychedelic rock. It was a component of what I call the consciousness movement, which culminated in what one might call the post-psychedelic era during the time of George Harrison's album, All Things Might Pass, which was inspired by Harrison's interest in meditation. I'm no fan of the psychedelic movement, as I knew many people were directly hurt during this period, which included other drugs besides LSD. One person I knew died through an accident undoubtedly triggered by his being on LSD. Another became schizophrenic. Another tried to commit suicide, and still another became addicted to heroin. I'm not trying to say LSD is a gateway drug, but I am noting that the era of acid's ascendancy was populated by other drugs. How many talented people in music and elsewhere, in entertainment and throughout the world, have we lost to drugs? Nevertheless, I'm saying that consciousness, when expanded by drugs, often produces creative fruit and spiritual insight. In fact, having been involved in meditation since I was 14, I told Richard Alpert, one of the leaders of the psychedelic movement, that he should get off of drugs during a show in the East Village called The Illumination of the Buddha. Not more than a year later, having nothing to do with my suggestion, I'm sure, Richard Alpert went to India, basically did give up drugs, and became Baba Ram Das, who wrote some extraordinary books and was, for decades, one of the most well-known teachers in the spiritual area. So during this period, despite many things that went wrong, the music of rock and roll did drive a message of possibility for human consciousness. And wonderful music resulted from the Beatles, Rolling Stones, the Grateful Dead, Jefferson Starship, The Doors, Pink Floyd, Emerson, Lake and Palmer, etc. But we all know that this little experiment went devastatingly wrong in many ways. Still, it showed that music could be a vehicle for delivering a powerful message for the possibility of enhancing consciousness and spiritual awareness. Even though the human beings inspired by their experiences were dabbling in powerful forces that could sabotage their lives and even their survival. We need a music now that could be a healing force throughout the world, one that is truly delivering a message from human beings inspired by a higher power in a powerful way. I believe that singers, songwriters, composers, and musicians participating in this program all resonate with the objective of creating music with a higher social and spiritual purpose, although each in his own way. I'm speaking about composer Edgar Arin, singer Patricia Welch, singer-songwriter, professional harpist, and filmmaker Patty Greer, singer-songwriter Zabe Nathan, and his wife and lyricist Bonnie Blazek and Stephanie Slevin, who is our guest today. Not every person involved in our show by way of music agrees with everyone else. Each person has their own take on social, spiritual, and political reality, and not every guest or performer on our show agrees with me. But I believe that each one makes an unusual and important contribution to social and political change. That's why we're here. Now, before I formally introduce our guest, Stephanie Slevin, let me say that she's not your typical songwriter. Stephanie certainly has a spiritual component of her already extensive inventory, but also has a controversial side to who she is and what she's doing. You see, Stephanie often receives inspiration from her songs in a very specific way, most unusual. So there are a number of interesting things about Stephanie. For one thing, she's very prolific, far more prolific than most artists. Let me say that she's not your typical songwriter. For one thing, she is very prolific, far more than you'd imagine. That's why I called our last program with her here, A Galaxy of Song. For another, besides being prolific, though, Stephanie gets a certain amount of her music from dreams and perhaps from a very unusual source, not out of the realm of human experience, but rare indeed. Before we actually talk about everything, I would like to play a song that exactly describes your situation. Is that okay, Stephanie?
Yeah, that's fine, Johnny. Thank you.
Hats up to angels, and they speak to me. They show me things that I don't usually see. Well, 'cause somewhere in heaven, God looks down with love, showing off mankind, but we just push and shove one another to the ground, making unholy sound. But if you wanna talk to angels, you gotta spread your heart around every town. I saw an angel at the end of my bed. He looked at me, but not a word was said. Well, 'cause somewhere in heaven, God believed in me, as he does us all, just awaits us to see. He is there, everywhere, all around, every town. Yes, I talk to angels, and they speak to me. They lead me places, they want me to be. Well, 'cause somewhere in heaven, God looks down with love, showing us mankind, but we just push and shove one another to the ground, making unholy sound. But if you wanna talk to angels, you gotta spread your heart around every town, every town.
Now this is kind of an amazing song, Stephanie. And I believe you're saying that the elements in the song are literally true, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. I do talk to angels. Well, they talk to me. They whisper to me. I've seen an angel at the end of my bed, which was a male angel. And I once took a photo of an angel in a tunnel, which was a female angel. And a rapper I co-wrote a song with suggested I should write a song about my experiences with angels. So I did. And that's how this song came about.
Tell us about the photograph in the tunnel.
It was in December the 21st. I was going to a wedding, and my friend was driving, and we heard a little pebble hit the car. Didn't think nothing of it because I love taking photographs. So I was taking photographs with my iPhone, and I didn't see an angel, but when I looked back on the photo, you could see the angel there. And I've put that photo out for people to see. It's not a fake, and she's an angel, and you can see her. And that's how that happened.
It's really a strange picture. I know, I've seen it.
Yeah, I sent it to you, yeah.
Well, I think a lot of your direction in life was inspired by your early childhood, in which you suffered a great deal of abuse after separating from your loving grandmother who cared for you during the early part of your life. Tell us about the events that happened to you when you were a small child.
Well, my grandparents were loving, and I was with them till I was nearly six. And my grandmother used to see things as well, which I've not really told people before. But she was a little bit frightened of it. And I saw things, but I was never scared of it. And I used to write things about bumblebees and the sun. But when I came to London and I suffered mental and physical abuse from my parents, then my gift kind of took a turn and I started to write things about pain. After seeing my grandmother being refused permission, looking through the window, she was walking.
Permission to see you. They kept her from seeing you, and she had been your caretaker for so long.
Yeah, and I've never really felt sorry for my own pain, but it's just seeing her pain as I looked through the window. It was raining, and she put sunglasses on so no one could see her tears. And that image has always stayed with me. I can talk about it now, but for years I couldn't. I used to break down. It still hurts my heart when I think back to that. But it's always haunted me. But I'm doing good things with that now. So that's kind of strange.
Well, we're going to take a break now, but we're going to first play a lovely little song concerning a story which your grandmother led you to in a dream sometime after she passed away. Could you tell us a little about that?
Well, I've never been able to contact my grandmother in dreams. It's very rare. And no matter what spirits come to me, she doesn't usually come. And then one night I was sleeping and she came to me and I saw these messages. And when I woke up, I looked them up and it led me to a story about a girl called Amber who was in a coma and whose grandmother was fighting a custody battle with the father to keep the life support machine on. And the story was dated Monday the 30th of December, which is my birthday, 30th of December, though it was a different year, 1991. And that's how I wrote the song. She led me to that.
Extraordinary. Let's hear Grandmother's Love by Stephanie Slevin.
Thank you.
She held her head above the water's deep. And though the body died and they all cried, the soul was there to keep, even in her sleep. And she felt the love, the tender kiss, so gently on her chin. For a grandmother's love is like the glove that fits the soul within of her loving kin. Yes, in an act of love, she held her head above the waters deep. And though the body died and they all cried, the soul was there to keep, even in her sleep. And she heard the noise, the fluffy toys, so gently overhead. She felt the love, the tender care that circled round her bed when the prayers were said. For a grandmother's love is like the glove that travels far and wide. For the light was bright for Amber, for God was by her side.
Boots in Manhattan is a coming-of-age novel by Ray Boylan and Johnny Bluestar. It is about a young Tom Boots Raymond who grows up in New York in the 1940s, who is a member of a street gang.
My friends and I were about to start our own game of stickball when Rabbit Lacey, the head of the Rattlers, came up to us and tried to move in on our game. We were called dwarves, the youngest members of this stupid gang.
Hey, Kevin, I need you to get some gloves and some stuff I left at my place.
No, this is our game.
Hey, are you my good little dwarf or what?
You've been calling me a dwarf since I was 6. We're not your personal slaves, pal.
Hey, what is this? A dwarf rebellion? All right, big guy. We ditched the dwarf thing. We make you guys regular rattlers.
No, it's too late.
He looked at Jay and me. We looked away. Rabbit was now angry, and he pushed Kevin hard with the palms of his hand. Kevin tried to ram him in his stomach, but he stepped aside, throwing Kevin into the curb where he fell to the ground, bleeding profusely at the knee. Still, he managed to get up.
My street.
Kevin shouted at Rabbit, pointing at him with an angry index finger.
Find out more by Googling Boots in Manhattan, a 1940s coming-of-age novel, part one of the novel series The Foot Soldier by Ray Boylan and Johnny Bluestar. Google with the words Boots in Manhattan, Ray Johnny Kendall. That's Boots in Manhattan, Ray Johnny Kendall.
Nowadays, if you are a serious business person, just getting assistance from someone with a license and a bit of experience may not be sufficient. In fact, your realtor actually needs to be knowledgeable enough to be one of your top advisors. Whether you are facilitating a giant merger or selling your company, there's a lot at stake besides your finances. There is the future value of your current investment, financial freedom, integrity, and overall reputation. If you need this kind of assistance, Sandra LaFlamme is a real estate expert with the experience, reputation, and knowledge qualified to assist you in all your key transactions. Sandra LaFlamme, real estate services with integrity and conscience. Contact her today at 888-366-8070. That's Sandra LaFlamme at 888-366-8070.
Hi, Steph. Before the break, we played your song called Grandmother's Love, but after her death, you never really forgot her and used to go frequently to the cemetery to visit her. Here's a song you wrote about that.
In all weathers, I visit here. It's a place I need to be. I've seen orange sunsets, rain and snow in front of me.
See you soon, Grandma.
That is a beautiful song, Stephanie.
Thank you.
It's just a wonderful tribute to your grandmother. Tell us a little bit more about the song.
I just wrote that song because of my feelings for her and how I feel about her. And the pain never goes away, gets easier. But that's how I feel about her, and that's what I used to do, go to a cemetery all the time to feel close to her. And that was first a poem, and then I turn it into song.
There's another song that you sang before on our program called the program we called The Galaxy of Song. But still, the song gives us a little more insight into your background, so I'm going to play it again. It's called Goodbye, My Love. Tell us about how you came to write this song and how it was connected to the last song we played, The Cemetery.
Again, recently my grandmother came to me in dream and led me to, actually it was a poem she led me to. And when I read the poem, it was a poem someone had wrote about their grandmother, and it was telling me that I didn't need to go to the cemetery and that she saw the rosemary beads that I'd recently bought her and draped across her photo, and that she could see what I was doing. And that she was with me and she was proud of me.
That's so basically she was saying, I'm not really dead.
Yeah, I'm here.
I'm still here. Well, let's play this in another incredible song called Goodbye, My Love.
Goodbye, my love, goodbye, my love. I'll see you on the virgin shore. And when time doth fare me well, we will be as one once more. Goodbye, my love, I'll miss you so, for I don't want to let you go. But in dream you said to me that by my side you'll always be. And wherever I do roam, that you will be my telephone. Goodbye, my love, goodbye, my love. Goodbye, my love, goodbye, my love. Goodbye, my love, you fare thee well, and in due time my heart will tell. Everything you've shown to me, how to reclaim my dignity. Goodbye, my love, I fare thee well. You are the soul that rings my bell. And wherever I do roam, you are the heart within my home. Goodbye, my love, goodbye, my love. I'll see you on the virgin shore. And when time doth fare me well, we will be as one once more. Goodbye, my love, goodbye, my love. Goodbye, my love, goodbye, my love.
As I mentioned when I began today's program, which is called I Talk with Angels, I long had this vision of helping to bring people together, people who are musical artists, to create what I call the Bridge of Light. Here's another artist, a composer named Edgar Ahrens, who I've been associated with for many years as a lyricist, along with Patricia Welch, a wonderful singer and performer. We are proud to sponsor not only songs of Edgar Ahrens, but his work in scoring for television and film. I've worked with Russian composer Edgar Ahrens for quite a few years, building an inventory of songs, many of which feature singer-performer Patricia Welch. We will soon be releasing these songs, components of an album and a musical in progress called Hadley's Castle. When Edgar and I first got together, I was amazed by the brilliance of his musical scores created for movies, TVs, and animations. Here is a sample of the work he did on the Russian TV series, available now on Amazon, called The Secret Agent's Memoir, which had two seasons. This score is called Escape and was created for the first season. Mm-hmm.
I am very pleased to say that Bridge of Light Productions, a division of New Galaxy Enterprises, is proud to be the contact point for television and film companies seeking information about this amazing composer's work. If you're in the entertainment business and wish to know more, contact me at johnnybluestar@gmail.com. That's johnnybluestar@gmail.com.
It is the 15th century. El Tesoro de Cielo, a Spanish treasure ship, sends a scouting expedition to a strange island. Golden statues surrounding them prove the enormity of their find. Suddenly, hordes of ghoulish creatures with scaly green flesh and skeletal wings descend upon them from the sky.
What do you think of this, Rufio?
These creatures are fragile, Captain. We can take them with our swords.
They seem supernatural. Who knows what powers they possess?
Fallen angels, weakened by their treason.
My God, are you saying they're Nephilim, the devil's host?
I'm saying whatever they are, we can take them. Do any of you cowards dare join me?
Up against sharp knife-like nails and hideous fangs, the men's swords rip into slimy green flesh. Though black blood pours copiously from their half-naked bodies, creatures miraculously persist. Can the crew survive this bloody, cursed battle?
Find out more by Googling The Thrice Born, a new sci-fi supernatural novel by Carlos Lopez Avery and Johnny Bluestar. Google with the words Carlos Johnny Kendall, The Thrice Born. That's Carlos Johnny Kendall, The Thrice Born.
New Galaxy Enterprises is a media company specializing in wide-ranging content like novels, nonfiction books, screenplays, commercial advertising, web content, etc. One of our most esteemed providers is illustrator Robert W. Zalo. I work on all my most important projects, like book covers, logos, web design elements, with Robert. As an illustrator, he worked on the Ignatz-nominated comic book, The Expert's Guide to Killing Things That Go Bump in the Night. His skills encompass advertising, magazine illustrations, gaming, comic books, TV production, and scenic painting. His clients include Comcast, Adelphia, Haven Talent, Forceworks, High Octane Theater, Star Creative Advertising. If you wish to contact Robert, go to johnnybluestar.com and let me know. That's johnnybluestar.com. For artist, illustrator Robert Zalo, an essential component of all the work we do. Maybe he can help you too.
We're back with Stephanie Slevin, who is if you've been paying attention, a rather accomplished and amazing songwriter. Stephanie, so far we've dwelt a bit on your childhood and your focus in your music on your grandmother, although deceased, who seems to come to you in dreams and visions, but she's not the only deceased person you seem to communicate with, is it?
No. All different sorts of spirits come to me in dreams and sometimes whisper to me, and one has even sung to me, and they give me messages in dreams which lead me to places and help me to write songs to help people that are living, like relatives here that need comfort.
Now, those who appear to you those who appear to have conscious contact with the dead are often called mediums, a controversial label as far as many people are concerned. But this kind of contact has happened to you since you were a very young child, hasn't it?
Yeah, since I was 4 years of age. And I wasn't scared of it. But when I came to London and I was older, I started to fear it a little bit. So they stopped appearing to me as spirits and started to speak to me in dreams. That's how it became like that. But recently I've started to see spirits again as well.
Ah, well, let me read you a paragraph from an article by Bob Olson called Being a Child Medium or Child of a Psychic Medium. Quote, many psychics and psychic mediums recall having childhood experiences that indicated a gift as early as age 3. Some psychic mediums saw dead relatives in their youth. Others carried on a conversation with those spirits. Still, other children seem to know things psychically that allow them to predict future events. Despite their telling their parents about these events, these childhood signs of a spiritual gift went unnoticed by adults in almost every case. Tell us what it was like in your situation, Steph. When you were finally returned to your parents after being with your grandmother, did they notice anything about your gifts or at least respond to what you told them, what you were seeing and experiencing?
They did, but they, my mother used to say it was a gift from the devil, and she used to physically attack me to try and rid me of that gift. I even had head injuries which needed several stitches as well. But my dad, he actually used to see things, but he didn't really talk about it, and he didn't want me to talk about it to anyone and said people wouldn't understand. So that's basically what happened there.
Yeah. Well, I think that mediumship is a very controversial subject to many people, but it has a very long history, and even one that includes some serious scientific investigation. Well, anyway, a psychic gift of any sort today still is often feared, often treated with fear or disdain by people who've never experienced the dilemma faced by a person with this ability. Gifts are often like that. Here's a song you wrote about Robert Johnson, one of our great blues artists who also faced a great deal of contempt and challenge about his music. Here's a song about a courageous artist who was compelled by his nature to produce some amazing music. Your song, Stephanie, called Gifted.
They say you're gifted. You must have got your gifts from the devil. Your lyrics uplifted because they're on the new level. Look to the left, look to the right. There's a devil on my shoulder, or is he hiding from sight? You must have made a pact with the devil. Your lyrics uplifted. Could I not have got them from heaven? What's wrong with you? Can't you see? My gifts are from God. He believes in me.
If you like Threshold Radio, a program which deals with core issues affecting our personal, political, and spiritual lives, and advocates the creation of an enlightened, informed citizenry, not only in America, but throughout the world, then you might think of supporting both your product and business and our message by advertising on our show. All programs are archived and are supported in various ways, including social media, our outreach being broadcast weekly on VegasAllNetRadio.com, a very advanced internet broadcasting station, but also archived directly on our websites on YouTube and in SoundCloud. We believe in time we will have a very broad outreach. Through New Galaxy Enterprises, our parent company, we can create a wide range of marketing and advertising components to complement your advertising on Threshold Radio and increase your outreach in many creative and exciting ways. If interested, just go to www.thresholdradio.com and fill out a contact form with your interest. That's www.thresholdradio.com.
It is the 15th century. El Tesoro de Cielo, a Spanish treasure ship, sends a scouting expedition to a strange island. Golden statues surrounding them prove the enormity of their find. Suddenly, hordes of ghoulish creatures with scaly green flesh and skeletal wings descend upon them from the sky.
What do you think of this, Rufio?
These creatures are fragile, Captain. We could take them with our swords.
They seem supernatural. Who knows what powers they possess?
Fallen angels, weakened by their treason.
My God! Are you saying they're Nephilim, the devil's host?
I'm saying whatever they are, we can take them. Do any of you cowards dare join me?
Up against sharp knife-like nails and hideous fangs, the men's swords rip into slimy green flesh. Though black blood pours copiously from their half-naked bodies, the creatures miraculously persist. Can the crew survive this bloody, cursed battle?
Find out more by Googling The Thrice Born, a new sci-fi supernatural novel by Carlos Lopez Avery and Johnny Bluestar. Google with the words Carlos Johnny Kendall, The Thrice Born. That's Carlos Johnny Kendall, The Thrice Born.
Here's another great musical artist I've worked with for years, Patricia Welch.
This is Johnny Bluestar. I've worked as a lyricist with Patricia Welch for over 5 years, along with Russian composer Edgar Ahrens, a friend and colleague. Her ability as a singer is simply amazing. She brings a unique and dramatic flair to every song she sings. Over the next few months, we shall be releasing a number of these songs, part of an album called Hadley's Castle. Meanwhile, Patricia has been busy creating a super enjoyable collection of classic standards in an exciting 46-song, 3-CD collection.
Music for great entertaining introduces Cocktails, Dinner, and Dessert with Patricia Welch. 3 hours of continuous music. 46 of the all-time classic standards, spanning decades of hit songs. Going to a friend's home for dinner? Cocktails, Dinner, and Dessert with Patricia also makes the perfect hostess gift. This 3-CD compilation is the perfect background music that sets just the right mood for any dinner party.
I'm crazy for feeling so lonely. There was a boy, a very strange, enchanted boy.
To purchase this album, just go to patriciawelch.com/CD. That is patriciawelch.com/CD. You won't be disappointed.
So, Stephanie, the fact that is that you really do have a lot of unusual contact with angelic beings and the deceased. Tell us how this works for you in more detail, how it influences your songwriting.
Well, spirits come to me in dreams, and sometimes I hear whispers, even when I'm awake, and I hear names whispered to me. So I'll look up these names, and they're people that exist, and usually they're people that are deceased. I'll look up their story, and you can see the way they've passed. Sometimes it's tragic. And then a song will come to me, and I'll write a song. And I realize that these spirits want me to do this in songs to help the relatives that are here grieving. That's why they come to me in dreams and that.
Well, you know, there's a song you wrote about someone named Mary Jane Kelly. This is certainly one of the strangest choices that I've come across of your songs about the deceased. Tell us about her.
Well, Mary Jane Kelly was a victim of Jack the Ripper. And bizarre as it may seem, Jack the Ripper has always haunted me in my dreams. I never see his face, but he's always in the distance. And this is since a child. And decades later, I discovered I had a baby sister buried in the same cemetery as Mary Jane Kelly, who now sings in my dreams. She has a beautiful voice, and this is a song I wrote for her.
The river runs through the valley, and I'm stood in the alley, for I'm just a lonely girl on cobblestones looking to earn some money. The pain runs through so many, just trying to earn a penny. For I'm just a golden girl, a trodden path, trying to sell some honey. And I took the grapes he offered me, a little coin for a cup of tea. For I'm Mary Jane Kelly, that's me. Yes, I'm Mary Jane Kelly, that's me. And they thought I could not read or write, but I like to hear the voices at night. For I'm Mary Jane Kelly, that's me. And that's just the artist in me. The river runs through the valley. He took me from the alley, for he sensed my vulnerability. Then look what he did to me. For I'm Mary Jane Kelly, that's me. Yes, I'm Mary Jane Kelly, that's me.
Steph, how come you... why do you think that Mary Jane Kelly would contact you?
I don't know, but I mean, Jack the Ripper has always haunted my dreams since I was a child. He's always standing in the distance, and I'm standing on a stage in costume. And then years later, I find out she's buried in the same cemetery as my sister, Roman Catholic cemetery.
Oh, that's very strange indeed. So, you know, speaking criminals, and I think we can say that Jack Ripper was definitely a criminal. You have had a certain interest, even since you were very young, in sort of being a psychic person who would either maybe locate the missing people or deal with the police in trying to help them solve crimes. Isn't that right?
Well, it's something I'm interested in. I mean, when I was 11, I used to have a lot of true crime magazines, and I used to have them all over my wall because I used to be able to close my eyes and see visions of where missing people could have been and get names of places. But trying to get people to take you serious is another thing. They just think you're crazy or you're mad. But I've always had that gift. And now I'm doing these songs, it's leading me back there. After all these decades, it's starting to lead me back there.
Now, I think there was you told me a story about your father reaction to your, interest as a child in this type of thing.
He took everything off the wall and he threw everything out and he wouldn't let me do it. He said, you're not going to do things like that. He wouldn't allow it. Anything to do with anything I did like that, he just wouldn't let me do it.
Did they ever explain anything to you about that? Was that their religious beliefs, your mother and father, or was it just a feeling that they had?
No, they were physically and mentally abusive. They didn't really care about God or anything like that. They used to say bad things about God. They just didn't, even my sister was very talented, and they just didn't care. They just didn't want us to use it at all. They said we weren't talented, we had nothing, and we would be nothing. And that's what they used to say, and stop us whenever we tried to do anything.
Well, obviously you persisted. And what did it take for you to persist? I mean, how did you cope with this?
Some people say to me now, why did you do nothing years ago? And I did. I've actually put things out years ago and advertising ideas of what got stolen from me and things like that. So I have tried and ended up in very dangerous situations. But I came to a low point in my life, and something happened to me when I came to that low point, and I realized that I had to put my stuff out there because There are those that don't believe, but there are those who do believe, and I have to do this, and I'm happy to do this. This is who I am, and it's my calling, and I'm going to answer it. That's how I feel now.
It's sort of a sense of mission, isn't it? I mean, it's like a very, you know, some people, you know, when I grew up, one of the problems was that I felt called to be a writer. And yeah. And some other things, not just a writer, but a painter, a few different things in the arts, particularly at the time. And then later on, it was broadcasting. I added that to the inventory of what I wanted to do. And I could not be stopped. I just couldn't do it because it would, inside of me, I would feel like I was almost like I was betraying my calling, like you feel. And so I kept going. I think that persistence is it's like a mark of somebody who is driven by a higher calling.
Well, I just know what I'm meant to do, and I'm doing it, and I'm happy to do that, and I like to help people. So if it helps people, that's good, you know? I think there's a platform for everyone, no matter what shoes you wear.
Well, tell us a little bit about, I mean, obviously, you know, a lot of times people will say, well, somebody who's psychic or possibly even a medium, they will say, you know, yeah, you know, the stereotype thing is to say they're being led by the devil. But there are also other types of objections, basically saying these are not callings that come from God. Tell us about your relationship to God and how you feel about God.
I've always loved God. I've always believed in God. It comes from my grandmother. I went to a Catholic school for a couple of years, from the age of 4 up to nearly 6. And we used to pray together. And I've always felt God's presence as she did. And I do believe in the devil as well. I believe there's dark forces. But I've liked to help people. My grandmother was like that. She had a very good heart. She would hurt nobody. And I just want to make her proud. And I believe that my gift is a God-given gift. I think God gifts us all. But just sometimes we don't realize we have that gift.
Well, you know, I was brought up, I would say that although there was some sort of belief that my mother might have had, it was basically an agnostic situation, you know, where there wasn't any belief. They certainly, I wouldn't say that they abused me in any sense like you were abused, but I didn't have it totally easy either. But I felt extremely empty. I was always searching because I always believed in God from the very moment that I was conscious. But yes. It was kind of lonely, you know, to believe in something and when you weren't surrounded by anything that kind of validated it. And I think because of that, I was extremely urgently trying to seek out whatever could be true, different religions, different spiritual movements, dozens and maybe hundreds of books. And then later on, I actually wrote a book and interviewed many, many spiritual leaders in New York in the 70s. And I got very acquainted with a lot of different things, and it still goes on, except I think I feel like I've crossed into a threshold, which is what the show is about.
Yeah.
Somehow there is a point, isn't there, in your life where you felt maybe a heightened, where the connection became a little bit more heightened and more clear to you?
Yeah, definitely. It was at my lowest point, and I just felt inside like I was dying and everything was going wrong. And then I realized I was making the wrong choices. I was doing the wrong things. So, you know, I was blaming God sometimes. Why are you doing this to me? I was doing it to myself. And I was very low. And then I had a dream. I had a message in dream which led me down the right path. And ever since that, I followed that path. And I know that I'm going in the right direction for me. And I'm helping people along the way. And I'm helping myself. And that's a good thing too, you know?
Yeah, there's a sense where you're on the right, you finally get on the right path. And then once you're there, I think a lot of miraculous things can happen.
Well, my abilities are becoming stronger now. I think I'm in tune with them more because I know that I'm following the right path.
Yes. Well, I think that's what this program is about. It's about helping people find who they are and showing them the possibilities for themselves and then for those who are already there, sort of providing a little bit of impetus, motivation for them to continue their journey. We'll be back on Threshold, and stay tuned.